This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Amy Lawrence.
Good morning to you. Good Monday morning. It's so hard to go back to work after vacation. Trust me, I am feeling it. I've felt it the same as you. In fact, my Sunday started exactly 24 hours ago, and it's still going. So I woke up at my brother's house at 5 a.m. on Sunday morning, and I had mostly packed and gotten ready to leave the house, but pulled out of his driveway at 5:40 a.m. because I wanted to beat weather and Thanksgiving travel. Pulled into my own driveway around 10:15 a.m. So it was actually a relatively quick trip, and I beat the snow and the sleet. But then football. So it's been a long day. All of that to say, I empathize with you. My mom goes back to school today as a teacher after a week off. They had the entire Thanksgiving week off at her school. And she also said the same thing. Oh, I wish I had one more day to get ready. Don't we always feel that way? It's hard to come back off a vacation, an extended weekend like this one. And some of you I know took the week off. So let's get to it. We're here to keep you company. Hope that you are warm. Hope that you are dry. Hope that you still have some Thanksgiving leftovers. I'm still working on mine. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. We have, I feel like, barely scratched the surface of what happened over the last few days in football. Managed to go back to Thanksgiving a little bit, but barely touching on it. Really haven't talked about the Iron Bowl. So I don't even know if we'll get that into this final hour. We have a lot to do in the NFL. But we do have some time this week that we can catch up as well, because we're done with college football's regular season and we're looking forward now to conference championships and those final college football playoff rankings. So you college fans, we may have to table it till a later show this week. But I'm here all week and we will get this done. Let's start with the latest game. Week 13, Sunday Night Football. Patriots in Houston. This is a game in which I feel like the Houston Texans showed us the extent of what they can be. We got to see how well the Texans can play on both sides of the ball. Although the fourth quarter, not one for the defense to write home about, maybe took their foot off the gas a bit once they had the big lead. You should know better against the Patriots. However, for the most part, a complete game, a complete win for the Texans. Getting a first quarter interception off of Tom Brady, so Bradley Roby back with the defense. Some really efficient, complete, brilliantly engineered drives by Deshaun Watson. Using all of his weapons, Will Fuller and DeAndre Hopkins and Duke Johnson and Darren Fells and Carlos Hyde. To the point where you could see how difficult it can be for a defense to track all of those weapons of the Texans. Houston able to stop a fourth down, nearly has another interception that's called back on a holding penalty. To me, this is a milestone win for a lot of reasons for the Texans. For this season, because what do we always know about the AFC, at least in this era? If you want to win the AFC, you very often have to go through the Patriots. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you have to go to Foxborough, but it does mean you have to go through the Patriots at some point. And so the Texans did that. But their season has been wildly inconsistent. So I need to know if they can build on this win. If this is the real Texans, will the real Texans please stand up? Because these same Texans got blasted by the Ravens not that long ago. So which is the real Texans? And which one can we trust? Which version can we trust? And so that's one question. But it is a milestone win. It's a signature win. It's only the second time in Texans history they've ever beaten New England. It's only the first time under Bill O'Brien. So all of that is worth celebrating. My question is, are you going to build on it? Is this a confidence boost? Will it make you a better team moving forward? Or was it just a nice moment on your schedule? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Couple of touchdown drives in the second half that I thought were fascinating, the way that they ended, because they were so different. And I like the versatility of Deshaun Watson. He's obviously smarter at reading defenses. He's a guy now that can hurt you a variety of ways. He is more comfortable in his skin. Not that he hasn't always been comfortable in difficult situations. And Coach O'Brien was talking about that after the game. This is what he does. He rises to the occasion. But it takes some time to get acclimated to the speed of the NFL. It takes some time when you've got a bunch of different weapons. It takes some time to be a guy who doesn't second guess. And you can see all of that coming together with Deshaun Watson. But these two touchdown drives in the second half, I thought, really kind of showing you a wide array of what the Texans can do. They have this one opportunity to go deep downfield. They do it with a long bomb to Will Fuller. And then we have the whole, this is like Sunday NFL humor, the whole question of what is a catch? Three steps, did he maintain control of the ball, blah, blah, blah. No, he didn't, as a matter of fact. And so you get that touchdown called off for Will Fuller. But what do the Texans do? They literally go back to the same exact deep shot.
Watson gets the shotgun snap. Patriots rush five. Watson will step up. Watson throwing deep down the left side. Kenny Stills in the end zone. He's got it. This is a catch. This is a touchdown. Kenny Stills, his second touchdown as a Texan.
And so they go right back to the same play. The first deep shot barely gets thrown out. I mean, it was a tight call, tight review. But they go right back. This time it's to Kenny Stills. And you hear it with Kevin Kugler on the Westwood One radio network. I thought that was pretty impressive moxie. It didn't work the first time, 35-yard bomb, so let's go right back to it. Different guy. It's a slightly different route. Then their next drive, after the Patriots have scored, their next drive, it's trickeration at the end. So they're up close. This time they're not 35 yards out. They're up close. They're in the red zone. And it's a play that, I don't know if it has a name or not. I hope we get to name it kind of like the Philly special. For now, we'll just call it the Texan special, but it's trickeration. And again, it involves a lot of different guys in the offense.
Out of the gun, they give to Johnson, who gives it back to DeAndre Hopkins, who pitches it to Deshaun Watson, running down the sidelines and running in for the touchdown. Oh my goodness, DeAndre Hopkins with the option pitch to Deshaun Watson and a touchdown for the Texans. Some razzle-dazzle gives him a 27-9 lead.
It definitely is the year of the receiver throwing touchdowns. And we saw John Brown do it. We've seen Julian Edelman do it recently. And now you've got it from DeAndre Hopkins. And it goes to Deshaun Watson, his first career touchdown reception, again with Kevin Kugler on Westwood One. But it was not just one extra person involved, one extra body. It was a handoff, and then it was a pitch and a pass. And Watson makes it work by the way he stretches over the pylon cam. So a lot of misdirection in there. So you have the straight deep shot. You have the arm of Watson. We also saw him eluding a sack and extending a drive earlier in the game, which was so important. His ability to use his legs to get him out of trouble if he has to. I wouldn't call him a running quarterback. It's not the same as Lamar Jackson, though he can run and he's very athletic. But he also makes really smart decisions, and I think that's important too. And so the way that they showed off of, you know, a variety of play calls, I thought was really impressive. And it definitely kept the Patriots defense off balance. Of course, they also got a little worn out there late just because the offense was not carrying its weight earlier in the game. And we once again saw an animated, frustrated Tom Brady in the first half. Now, the Patriots finish with three straight touchdowns, and that's fantastic, right? They make the game respectable. They put themselves in the mix. They nearly grab an onside kick. It went out of bounds. But in the final minute, you're saying there's a chance. There was. But the hole they fell into, they just couldn't completely climb out of. Their stats were impressive at the end. 145 rushing yards. Brady has three touchdowns, but he also has an interception. He gets sacked three times. Again, this was a big win for Houston for a variety of reasons, even if we're looking just at the implications for the AFC. You've got the Tennessee Titans breathing hot and heavy down the necks of the Texans. They're just a game behind them in the AFC South. The Titans have won three in a row. Hey, Ryan Tannehill. What is he, 5-1 since he took over with the Tennessee Titans? You've got the Colts that are still right there, kind of hovering, though they've taken a couple of steps back. So it was important for the Texans in their own division, but also important because it's a measuring stick. It's a gauge. They've been so inconsistent, at times flat out frustrating. So can they build on this? And as much as Deshaun Watson wants to say, hey, or anybody really, an athlete will tell you, oh, it's just another win. This is what we have to do. Come on. No, it's the Patriots. And this meant something different.
Honestly, every win is big. But of course, you know, against a team like the Patriots, who's been doing it for so long, and you know, with the talent and the things they've been doing for this season, it was big for us. It builds our confidence. It builds the momentum for us to continue to try to push on. And it just shows us and shows the world that we can play with anybody at any given day if we come up and play. So, you know, for us, we got to continue to keep rolling, continue to find ways to get better, correct the mistakes, and keep pushing forward.
And I think that, you know, guys worked hard this week. You know, I think it hasn't always been perfect this year, but, you know, they've come into work every week in this room, and they focused, and we've had, you know, decent practices, and I thought that's what happened, you know, this week. We practiced hard this week. They put a lot out there. They put preparation in, and they you know, it paid off for them.
There's really not a whole lot to say here. You know, the Texans did a good job tonight all the way across the board. In every area, they're just better than we were tonight, and I'm proud of the way our guys fought and competed, but we just gotta coach better. We gotta play better. We just gotta do better than we did tonight. Just wasn't good enough in any area, and they were the better team.
The Texans were able to build a big lead and then hang on, and that's credit to them. But it's also just highlighting the issues with the Patriots offense again. And I've seen the Brady's done tweets. I've seen those hot takes. I don't believe that. I mean, is he the same quarterback maybe that he was 10 years ago? Probably not. I mean, with age, father time waits for no man. He might slow down with Tom Brady, but it's just life. It's why everyone makes such a big deal of it when Brady actually picks up a few yards on the run. Anyway, it's fine. He's still a really good quarterback. Has he lost it? No. But it's been a revolving door of receivers, offensive linemen. They're trying to establish the run. Really, the only guys he trusts are James White and Julian Edelman. Sony Michel? Sure. But Mohamed Sanu drops a pass on fourth down, and he's been in and out of the lineup. Antonio Brown is tweeting not just during the game, hey, Patriots, come get me. But you guys see the video that he put together? Or someone on his crack production staff? All I Want for Christmas Is You, set to Mariah Carey. And it's a video essentially of him grabbing the one touchdown pass he did with the Patriots during the preseason. And then Gronk. All I want for Christmas. As if the Patriots are desperate. Now, Gronk is not coming back. The deadline's passed anyway. But Brown
is... I love puppies.
Brown, he's got plenty of time to play with those puppies. Brown is out there campaigning for a gig with the Patriots again. And that rumor keeps popping up that the Patriots would have him back. It's just Bob Kraft who's standing in the way for good reason.
Sorry.
I mean, that's the deal. Tom Brady doesn't have a great rapport with really anybody else. Edelman's his safety net, his security blanket. N'Keal Harry, well, he's a rookie. They're trying to work him in. Philip Dorsett, it sounds like, looked like he missed a route. So did Harry at some point during the game. They just don't have that rhythm. And they're running out of time to develop it. But it's never the same guys on the field from play to play and week to week. So, no, Brady's not done. But that offense is one of those whose stats would mark it more as a team near the bottom of the NFL, not a team that's 10-2. The standings, so many implications, and that's where the Ravens come in the AFC. What a game against the Niners. We'll get to that one coming up. Also, we're asking you, how many coaches do you think should get replaced come the end of the NFL season? A-Law Radio to find us on Twitter. We've got our Monday MVP poll up. Yes, Deshaun Watson is part of it. And also on our Facebook page. So whether it's Monday MVP or you're answering our coaching question, we love to hear from you. Good morning. I know it hurts a little bit, but I'm here for you. Misery loves company. Hello. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
It's now an unmistakable voice. It's a lot like a Pat Mahomes. You know exactly who's talking when you hear Lamar Jackson, although that was a high-pitched whistle in the background. So he called this game a dogfight. He also said it was horrible to play in the weather. The rain, the wind in Baltimore was something that he had to combat. Niners did as well, but it certainly changed the way that the game flowed. However, both these teams are built for football in the elements. The power run game, the defenses, I thought we still got one heck of a battle between the Ravens and the Niners. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Taking your tweets here, A-Law Radio. Who are the coaches that should be replaced in the offseason? So I'm not asking you to predict how many, because we don't predict the future very well. But I'm asking you to tell me which ones you think should be gone. So which team should make coaching changes? Or on our Facebook page, you can also weigh in for Monday MVP. 855-212-4227 to reach us here after hours. So Jimmy Garoppolo leads an opening drive touchdown for the Niners. But then after he fumbles on a sack, the Ravens answer. They get a short field, they answer. And I felt like that first quarter was kind of indicative of what we were going to see. The back and forth, the give and take. Now, the Ravens were able to string together three consecutive scoring drives, and they took a 17-14 lead into the halftime locker room, the warm, the dry, because the Niners missed a field goal. So it was a really healthy mix. As Lamar Jackson said, it was a dogfight. It took everything they had. It took fourth down conversions. It took field goals. It took all of their running. Lamar, Mark Ingram, Gus Edwards, they really all had to pitch in. And as usual, the Ravens had nearly 200 yards rushing. So did the Niners, though. In the second half, it was much more the defense. Not nearly as much offensive action. Two field goals. That's it. That's all you got. And yet it was still such a great game. San Francisco tied it in the third because Lamar fumbled. He was out of the pocket. He was on the run. He fumbles. The ball gets punched out. So the Niners defense kind of returning the favor that we saw from Baltimore earlier in the game. And then back and forth they went. A punt here, an attempt at fourth down that got stopped, which set us up for the second half of the fourth quarter. And this is the part that just kind of shows you what the Ravens can do. Offensively, that ball control game. They got the ball back with 6+ minutes left in the fourth quarter and never gave it up. 12 plays, including a fourth and one. Let me see if I can go back. I tweeted this on Sunday, but I want to make sure I don't get the wrong stat. The Ravens, of course, have been really aggressive on fourth down all season. John Harbaugh has shown that for the most part, he's going to go for it, even though he's got the best kicker in the game. 14 of 19 on fourth downs this season. I mean, that's not only the confidence of the head coach, but also understanding the weapons and the tools that he's got. And so they convert a fourth and one on that last drive. They have diverse calls in there, but it was really short and kind of manageable. It was not huge chunk plays. They weren't trying to go deep downfield. They were just moving the ball like they do, keeping it away from Garoppolo and the Niners. However, it's a pretty sweet safety net to have when you've got the most accurate kicker in the history of the NFL.
Tied at 17. Justin Tucker on for a 49-yard field goal attempt from the left hash mark. Justin Tucker for the winner from 49 yards. Snap is good. Kick on the way. It is long enough. And the kick is good. The time has come off the clock. The Hayes in the barn. And the Ravens take down the 49ers.
Listen, Tuck is the GOAT. He's Otto Matt Tuck. Of course, we'd like to finish that, get him closer. But I know he going to be money with it. I know he going to be money. I know he going to come through. That's what he does. You know, best ever to do it. Automatic. Otto Matt Tuck.
Mark Ingram, the hype man. He's the pitch man. This guy needs to be in marketing. In fact, he needs to do the social media for the Baltimore Ravens when he's not running the football. Yeah, really amazing that not only do you have a Lamar Jackson, who is the first NFL quarterback in history to ever record four 100-yard rushing games in a season. So we know what kind of dual threat he is. But when you actually trot your kicker out there, Justin Tucker is the best.
He's Otto Matt Tuck.
He blasts his 15th career game-winning field goal as time expires. And so this one was good to the last drop, as Lamar Jackson said. Jerry Sandusky with the calls on the Ravens radio network. Now, we know that they're all about these awesome victories and yet, you know, kind of sticking to business. So a little bit of both with the Ravens. But because the Patriots lost on Sunday night, now the Ravens, for the moment, with the tie break, have the number one seed in the AFC. Wowzers. As for, did I say the Niners? Oops, the Ravens. Shoot, sorry. It's the fourth hour of a really long day and a really long show. If I said the wrong team name, that's my fault. It's the Ravens in the AFC with the Patriots. In the NFC, the Niners have now fallen back into a tie with the Saints, who, of course, have already clinched the NFC South. I mean, come on. Rest of the division, where are you? Anyway, it was kind of interesting to hear what Kyle Shanahan had to say after the game. Because, again, went down to the wire. Really close one.
I was real proud of the team. I thought they played extremely hard, all three phases. Definitely played against a real good team. But I was real happy with our guys and how they played. We had every chance to win that game. Came up a little bit short there at the end. Give credit to them. Hopefully we can earn an opportunity to maybe get a chance to play them some other time again.
Ooh, a lot of people on social media on Sunday thinking, A, this could be a preview of the Super Bowl. B, that they would sign up for this rematch. The game's in Miami, by the way. It just, I don't want to jump ahead. I can't do it. You know me, I can't do it. I don't want to get too far ahead, but it was kind of interesting to hear Kyle Shanahan say that. One more quick one from Kyle, because what's the goal now? Teams who have to play the Ravens, and it's the Bills up next. You have to game plan for Lamar Jackson. I don't know if you can stop him, but you're trying to contain him.
You know, I mean, he's going to make some plays. But yeah, we had to change some stuff up and run some fronts a little bit different. Anytime you are going to play 11-on-11 football, you can't just do what you've been doing. So I was happy with the scheme that we put in. I was happy with how the guys executed it, and thought they did a pretty good job at it.
So the Niners fall back to 10-2, but again, still right there in the mix, tied with the Saints for the best record in the NFC. As luck would have it, those two teams match up next week. How does the NFL get these matchups? How does that happen? It's just magic. But yeah, that's what's coming up next. Ravens and Bills, but then Niners and Saints. And San Francisco is actually not traveling back home. Instead, they're going from Baltimore. They're probably already there. Going from Baltimore to Florida to spend the week in Florida and get ready for the Saints coming up in the Superdome in week 14. Week 14. What is that? I can't believe it's December. I can't believe we're nearly through week 13 in the NFL. Man, time flies. The Ravens now with an 8-game win streak. Pretty amazing what they've done and how they've faced all these battles and have come out on top since the first month of the season. All right, 855-212-4227. Who's your Monday MVP? How many coaches should be fired after the season? Because we're getting to that point, too.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Vinatieri, 46-yard field goal, left hash for the lead.
Snap. Set. Kick. Block. Ty Smith has it. 50, 40, 30, 20, 10, 5. End zone. Touchdown, Titans. Ty Smith to the house.
I mean, they are taking a lot of pride in it, and they are it's almost looking like a weapon for us. I mean, they were close, and I know we forced them into we blocked two, forced another miss, and they're excited. Yeah, they practice it hard. They're coordinated, and they're trying to get everybody home. They know if everybody does their job, you know, we got a chance to get one.
It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody. On After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Another big victory for the Tennessee Titans, and this one had a little juice to it. A blocked field goal return for a touchdown, and it was done by Ty Smith, late in the fourth quarter when the game was tied. And so it was a critical moment. You hear Mike Vrabel talk about special teams and how hard they work on this, and that this is something that they go into every game thinking, okay, this could be the time. This could be the one. So Ty Smith goes 63 yards with that blocked field goal, and just kind of adds to the misery of Adam Vinatieri this season. However, you got to give the Titans credit for what they've done offensively as well. Turning to Ryan Tannehill, now 5-1 with Tannehill as the starter. The way that Derrick Henry has run over the last couple of weeks has been really impressive. They've raised the level of play on the offensive side of the ball as well. And because the Titans get this victory against the Colts, it's inside their division in the AFC South. They've now got three straight wins, and they're just a game back of the Texans in that division. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Disappointing for sure to see the Colts fade back to 500. They're at 6-6. The Raiders, same thing, and their last 2 weeks have been brutal. The Raiders running into the Chiefs in a buzzsaw yesterday, and the turnovers for Derek Carr at Arrowhead Stadium, including a pick six by a rookie, Juan Thornhill, out of Virginia, his first career touchdown. So for those two teams, they've kind of slid backward. The Browns are in a similar boat. They're not 500, but they had really high hopes going into their game against Pittsburgh yesterday. But I'm not sure there was any way the Steelers weren't going to allow that one to slip away. So you've got a bunch of teams that are kind of hovering right around 500 in the AFC that could still be part of the wild card conversation. And I guess if something wild happens, could also still be part of the division races for their respective divisions. As for the NFC East, this is the one that's the soap opera of the NFL, right? It's this way every year. The Cowboys lose on Thanksgiving. They fall back to 500. The Eagles had this amazing opportunity. Now, 3 weeks in a row, the Eagles have had the opportunity to either catch the Cowboys or pass the Cowboys. Have they taken advantage of the opportunity? Heck no. Sunday against the Miami Dolphins. Now, the Dolphins certainly are one of the bottom feeders in the NFL. They don't have a lot of talent. They're stockpiling draft picks. They're in full rebuild mode. But as I've said to you before, you do not bring Ryan Fitzpatrick on board if you want your team to tank, because that guy does not know anything except for aggressive, intense. He knows how to chuck the ball. He's a leader by example. He's smart, obviously. And so if you want your team to lose on purpose, Ryan Fitzpatrick is not your man. And so Fitzpatrick's out there chucking and ducking like he always does. And then Brian Flores and the Miami coaching staff trot out what was a very unique and interesting formation on a field goal.
Fourth and goal. Looks like they're bringing Sanders out.
Yeah. Fake.
They're going to fake this thing. The Dolphins have players spread all over the field. 5 to the left, 4 to the right. They run it. They throw a touchdown. Unbelievable.
It was a crazy formation. It was bunches of players on either side. And then kind of right in the middle, the punter, Matt Hawk, takes the snap and throws it to the kicker, who ends up in the end zone. and Jason Sanders ends up catching the touchdown grab. Kind of nutso, right? But it definitely took the Eagles by surprise. I mean, it took everybody that was watching by surprise. It literally blew up. Well, not literally. It figuratively blew up Twitter. Actually, I wouldn't mind if someone literally blew up Twitter. And it just was this kind of interesting formation that reminded me of something the Colts did against the Patriots a couple years ago that didn't work at all. Instead, Brian Flores, the Miami Dolphins, their special teams unit comes up with this really cool play. And when do you ever get to hear post-game comments from a punter, which is why we need to hear from the Dolphins' Matt Hawk?
It's awesome, you know. It's not something you get to see every day. Not something you get to practice every day and stuff like that. So whenever something is called like that, you just hope it works out how you practice it and how it's drawn up. And it.
Yeah, kind of cool the way that it worked out. So again, if you want to see the video, it's all over social media. I know that I've watched it a bunch of times, just kind of understand what they were doing with this trickeration. Twice they opted not to kick on fourth down when convention would say that they should. And so you got this gamble by Flores as Miami kind of shifts out of field goal formation. They said five guys to the left, I think it was, and four guys to the right. And Matt Hawk ends up throwing a touchdown pass. Pretty cool. Jimmy Cefalo, by the way, with the call on the Dolphins radio network. Devontae Parker with a fantastic game, a couple of acrobatic touchdown catches. And the Dolphins were actually down 14 points and rallied, and they did it quickly. Now, when you think Dolphins, you don't think quick strike ability, right? That's not something that you would expect to be a strength of theirs. And yet, with the leadership they've got, three touchdowns in not even 13 minutes. I mean, do you remember where the Dolphins were to start the season? I know they only have three wins, so let's not go all crazy, right? They lost to Baltimore 59-10 and then got shut out by the Patriots 43-0. They lost 31-6 to the Cowboys. They scored 10 points in a loss against the Chargers. They almost beat the Redskins. Okay, woo. But they started out the season with seven consecutive losses. They beat the Jets and the Colts, and now here they are again with the victory over the Eagles, certainly their best win of the season. And again, the way they did it, impressive. As for the Eagles, they've now dropped three games in a row, and every opportunity that the Cowboys have handed them, it's like they don't want to win the division.
I mean, that's a good football team. Listen, this is the NFL. They compete hard. We knew that coming down here. I think what's deflating is the part that's disappointing. And we always control what we can control, and you know, not to do the things that we are capable of doing today. The lack of inconsistency all around is the most disappointing thing.
For sure, it's been a wild roller coaster ride, and it's been this way the last couple of years. But they can't seem to get out of the spiral that they're in. I just got this tweet from Todd. I had a coach in high school in Alaska that taught us that package. He called it the swinging gate. Coach Dan Blair. Well, that's cool. I do wonder what it's called. Although, I don't know that one needs a name as much as what the Texans did on Sunday Night Football with Duke Johnson handing off to DeAndre Hopkins, who then kind of pitches the ball to Deshaun Watson, who ends up in the end zone. All kinds of trickeration on Sunday. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. So a couple of your tweets, A-Law Radio. James says, don't let the listeners lie to you. Matt Patricia's seat is not hot. So he sends me a screenshot from a periodical that covers the Lions. Maybe it's just a website, but the report, sources indicate that Matt Patricia will return to the Lions in 2020. I would be surprised if he didn't. Again, we're so new into his tenure. And while I do think it's really glaring that the defense has been awful, I don't know that he's had enough time. I feel like if you're thinking about the Lions, generally the Ford family is a little more patient. I mean, I don't know. It's certainly desperate times for Detroit and this pattern, this cycle that they're stuck in. So I've seen some for Detroit. I've seen a lot of you saying Dallas, of course. And even though right now the Cowboys have that 6-6 record, they are on top of the NFC East, the soap opera of the NFL. And everything that they want is still ahead of them. But it's hard to imagine they make a real run in the playoffs. If they do, though, then what? Yikes, then what? I've seen a lot of Browns fans writing to me and saying Freddie Kitchens needs to go. I think that's the wrong move. You hired him knowing that he was a newbie. You hired him knowing that he was going to be doing all of this for the first time. So you've got to have a little more patience than this. What good does it do the Browns if you pull him out, fire him, and then throw another new head coach in there? Then they would have four head coaches in three seasons. That's ludicrous and asinine and the exact opposite of the way that you would build a winning culture, right? So it's counterintuitive and counterproductive to what they want to do. You chose Freddie Kitchens. You knew what happened if you did. There was going to be a learning curve. I think you got to stick with them a little longer. Tweet, Dan Quinn is one of those coaches that needs to be gone. Yeah, that's kind of interesting. Did Dan Quinn and the Falcons save his job with this kind of rally two of the last 3 weeks? I don't know. That's a question that has to be answered. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Vote for Monday MVP on either Twitter or our Facebook page. And can you do me a favor? While you're on Twitter, check out the video of the Hershey Bears and the teddy bear toss that they hosted in their Sunday game. They're the AAA affiliate, essentially, for the Washington Capitals, and they collect teddy bears to distribute around the holidays. A record 45,650 teddy bears. The video will throw you, will just throw you off. Check it out on my Twitter, and I'll talk to you tonight after Monday Night Football here on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.